And now we have this beautiful text from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, 1 to 13, where Paul takes the tradition about Moses going up to Mount Sinai and combines it with the ascension of Jesus. I want to see if I can get it for you. I have it here, but it's a very beautiful text. These things are so filled with mystery. That's why our Lord gave us the rosary, so we could say the Hail Marys and think about this a lot, you see. He went up to heaven. Whatever that means, you know. But he says, I won't leave you orphaned. I will come to you. So we have this text here, you see. It's from Psalm 68. So we're going to start looking at it. It's a beautiful one. It starts, I beseech you, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. What were you called to? How would you answer that in five words? What are you called to? Are you called? Of course, you're baptized. You're called. What are you called to? Well, you could start. You're called to an unending, transforming union with the Trinity. That's what you're called to. That's where you're going. Now, in your time on earth, you are called to love the Lord and obey Him, and to let other people know about Him and bring them with you to heaven. That's what you're called to walk worthy of the Lord, okay? And so Paul is going to talk about that. And the way he does it, you see, is he talks about this going up to heaven. But what he does, he uses the tradition about Moses going up Mount Sinai, which is already part of Psalm 68. I guess I could get Psalm 68 ready too. But it's not only Psalm 68, it's other texts as well. Okay. That God arrived, that his enemies were scattered, and so forth. Okay. Now. I paraclete you, literally. Parakalo unimas. Parakalo means I encourage you, I exhort you, a paraklesis in Greek, when Paul and Barnabas walk into a synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue sends a word over, brethren, do you have a word of paraklesios for us? You see? Exhortation, encouragement, joy. And then Paul stands up. Okay, so it's translated, I beseech you, but it means more than beseech. I exhort, I encourage. Okay. I'm a prisoner in the Lord to walk worthy of the calling to which you were called. How do you do that? With all humility and gentleness, with generous patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope, we're all going to the same place of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's our calling. What's the first thing Paul says about our calling? It's communal. It's the first thing he says. Walk worthy of the call to which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In other words, Community is an essential part of the call. You're not called just all by yourself. In fact, in another context, St. Francis was up on top of Mount Alvernia for quite a while and praying with the Lord, and maybe in the time he received the stigmata too. Anyhow, St. Clair sent word up to him. I think I've told you this story before. She sent somebody up there, said, "Tell Francis, thus says the Lord, I haven't called you for yourself, Francis. I want you to preach. So come down from the mountain and preach. You see? Take care of your brothers, sisters." And so that's what Clair had to tell him. So, see, but it's important to realize that the call is communal. Well, you say, what about these hermits? Who have they got community with? Well, first, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they've got a community already. But then, they are bound to the church. Bound. They're bound to the whole human race. I lived a semi-eremitical life and sometimes a full eremitical life for several years of my life. And I must say, in some ways, I was never more aware of my unity. Especially, I was aware of all the poor coming into my hermitage. And I just tried to hold them up to God. What could I do? I wrote a poem about that once. See if you can find it over there in those books. Can you do that now? And I'll go on talking. It's the book, I forgot the name of it, but you can find it. It's right on that shelf there. I want to show people what it means, you know, that we're never alone. It's called In the Footsteps of God, I think. It's on that shelf that you're looking at, I think. It's a little book over on this left side someplace. In the Footprints of God. It's not there? Well, maybe you're spared one of my poems. Keep looking, if you can. You see? Generous patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is nothing like it, right? We even have that psalm. Behold how beautiful it is for brethren to live together. So that starts with the family. I think you've got it. Okay. You remember how, you don't remember, Fulton Sheen used to have somebody doing, he called it his angel, because you never saw the other person. You just had to believe. No, this is not the one, I don't think. No, it's the other one. But I forgot the name of the other one, so we'll skip it for now. Maybe we'll take a break after we do Ephesians and take another look for it. I'm only excited, I want to do something with this. Being eager, you see, to keep this anotita of the Spirit, you see, in the bond of peace. Because there's only one body and one Spirit. That's the one. That's the one. Now, if I can find it quickly, I just, you see, I wonder if that's the one. Yeah. Okay. The Lord showed me this, and I want to share it with you because, well, first I'll tell you another monastic story. Great Simeon, I think it was Simeon, used to say, "This is the sign of a man who has arrived at perfection. If he were given over to the flames 10 times a day for the sake of humankind, he would consider it not enough." See? And another one, Staret Siluan, a Russian, lived on Mount Athos, a holy old man, he wasn't a priest, looked after some other. One day, one of the younger monks said, Father Siluan, you talk about pure prayer, but there's a lot of illusion in this, isn't there? I mean, pure prayer, how do you know? And he said, well, it's true. Sometimes the Holy Spirit takes us right out of ourselves and we're not aware of the world or even of ourselves. But this doesn't last long in this life. And if at the moment you come back to yourself, immediately you start to pray for the world, then that prayer was pure. You are joined. That's why in the liturgy we say, Lord have mercy, not Lord have mercy on us. Lord have on the whole world, Lord. Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy. Okay. This poem goes like this. A man goes by with a lonely burden. Words can never lighten. I want to touch him, Lord. Will my tears make any difference? A woman is here weeping. A child is afraid. May I reach out, Lord, until my hands caress and feel their pain? Where am I, Lord? I seem to be in all the slums and hovels and damp, cold shacks of my own soul. Why does my head ache and my chest weigh on me? Where am I, Lord? Why am I talking even to you? What difference does it make if I say anything? Why did you bring these people here? Why can't I help them, Lord? I know that all those who have held me and touched my pain were sent by you. So I don't care, Lord, if I'm a sinner. Just let me console somebody, really lift their pain. Jesus, let all the weak and scared and weeping people of the world live right here with me in the slums of my soul. Let me be alone with them and silently touch them until my heart breaks and I know I die and know if it makes any difference. Amen. See, that was a work. I couldn't do that, you know. The book is called Touching God. I don't know if it's still in print even. But anyway, as I started to tell you about this, the vocation is to be one, okay? And so, he went up. What is it except that he also went down to the lower part of the earth? And now he's working off a broad translation of the psalm that talks about Moses going up Mount Sinai, receiving gifts, you see, and coming down the mountain. But it's now Jesus who went up to the Father at the ascension, you see? And to each of us now is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, it says, going up to the height, he captured captives, he gave captives, he gave gifts to men. This, he went up. What is it? Except that he also descended to the lower part of the earth, down to Sheol. The one who descended is also the one who went up above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, and it is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, with a view to equipping the holy ones for the work of service, for the building of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man. It doesn't mean I arrive at being a perfect man. It means we make the new Adam, the whole perfect Adam. Jesus is the head and we are his body. Why? Because he went down to the depths of the earth. He died and sunk into darkness. Then he went up. You see, he captured captives. He gave gifts to men. So all the gifts we have, prophet, apostle, martyr, administrator, teacher, preacher, they all come from that act of love in which he died, in which he sank to the very depth of the earth, gathered the people there, brought them up, and then went up to heaven with them, and then poured out the graces on us. That's the Feast of Pentecost. And of course, we're preparing for it with this feast. Amen.